What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for February 27th, 2023. 2 months until my 40th birthday. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the New York Times quoted at Tim Geddes.
Tim, host. Wow, we have 2 months to get you on a 40 Under 40 list.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should just make the list at this point. That's... If we just did the Kinda Funny top 10 40 Under 40, maybe that's how we
like. Oh, Kinda Funny's 40 Under 40. I kind of love that. And then people on this
show do literally, we could just do the best. Actually, chat be cool and don't warn them ahead of time. We should do that because it would be all 10 of us except Nick, who's over 40. What a great burn.
Wait, that is fucking awesome. I love that.
Have Bless do it on the Blessing Show set and just be at number 10 and just go down all the way.
That's great.
Honorable mention to Nick Scarpino, who's too old for this list.
That's real good. I can't believe 40, Greg. Like, this will, I'm sure, be a topic for another time, but like that does something to me that I'm scared of. Like, that's a big number for you. Like, I think of you still as 30.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I knew you on your 30th birthday.
Yeah,
when
you
guys did your big epic Nashville trip, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Been 10 years since then?
Yeah.
That doesn't add up. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, well, that's how it happens, man.
We should do something cool.
We should. Do something cool. I don't know. Pizza, wings, streaming.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Video games.
I'm down. Down for all those things.
How you been, Tim? I haven't seen you in a while.
I've been real good. I haven't seen you in a while. It's been a long time, man. There's been a lot going on. You've been doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Some not so cool stuff, but some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Really excited about that. I had a great weekend. Finally beat Hi-Fi Rush. What a video game. Game just gets better and better as it goes on. The final couple of hours of that game are just perfect. Perfect. So damn good. But I want to hear about DICE. You left me last week. You got to go host a bunch of cool stuff. You fucking crushed it. Congratulations to Greg Miller and Stella Chung. Absolutely.
And all the winners of DICE 2023.
Of course. But you guys really killed it. The monologue was awesome. The energy seemed fantastic. What was it from your perspective?
It was all that. Yeah. You know, the DICE Awards, of course, were last week. They were on Thursday. They were on IGN.com. You can go watch them on demand right now to see me and Stella come out and rock a monologue written by the one and only Mike Drucker and one of his friends. And then, yeah, we had a great show throughout that. I've been talking, you know, to people who've asked about it. I think it was, and this is not a knock against Jessica Chobot, who's my co-host for six DICEs before this. This was my seventh one. The energy in the room was way better than it's been before. You know, usually when we do the DICE Awards, the commentary is like, oh man, the crowd's not into it. Oh, but, and it's like, no, they're into it, but they're not mic'd for like a Price is Right. They're just there, but they're enjoying it and they're chuckling. This was like, as soon as we came out there, it was like, rah, like this energy to it. So I think people were just the right amount of drunk.
Good.
To really go out there and have some fun.
Including you.
Yeah,
you made some bad jokes.
I did. I mean, the trombone champs didn't play as well. We put them in there because you know you want a good stumble, a good fumble in there. Every DICE Awards has just like Up at Noon has one that just doesn't land and you have to lean into it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I brought some liquor bottles in my pocket to soften the blow of we didn't know what wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and honestly, the original bit with the alcohol in my pocket was that me and Stella had said backstage, whoever flubs the teleprompter first has to take a shot. But we nailed it. Nobody flubbed the teleprompter. And so then when we had this moment of like, oh, wow.
Oh, so that was impromptu.
That's totally Greg
Miller acting on his feet, everybody.
Yeah. So we had a whole section of Trombone Champ jokes that didn't land. So we had to make fun of that. And actually, I think Trombone Champ has responded. Isn't that correct, Barrett?
The champ himself?
I think this is, again, still. I'm sorry. We're still in the Trombone Champ section. Everybody, just stick with us. I think they put it, Trombone Champ, in the category Family Game of the Year because the more you play the game, the more confused your family gets.
He tried.
Is there a bartender in here? Because we need another one. The Trombone Champ was not the way to go.
You did your best.
I tried.
Oh my God. Whoa.
I'm being honest,
I knew you were weak, but I didn't know you were this weak.
Keep Trombone Champ's name out of your funny mouth.
I think I'm sorry. We're still in the.
We want to talk about the buy-in from Trombone Champ. That happened on Thursday, and they had that edit over the weekend. They're like, we're going to put, if you're okay, they asked, of course, because they're nice. We did not ask if we're allowed to make fun of your game. They asked if they could make fun of us. And I was like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, put it up. And they're like, I will put it up on Monday when people are watching.
Wow.
And it's like, the Will Smith stuff, you're like, is it played out to it? That was really well done.
They did it.
That was really fantastic. Well done. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Man.
So shout out to Trombone Jam for having fun with us. Everybody had fun there, yeah. It was a great time. Got to catch up with a bunch of people. Tim Schaefer, you know, inducted into the Hall of Fame. He was there being a goon. There was these two Dice scholars, and they were the ones who brought out the awards or whatever. At one point, I did an impromptu bit where I brought them out on stage, and one of them wanted to work at Riot, so I introduced them on stage to somebody at Riot. One of them wanted to meet Tim, so I made sure that they would
have a company after party. So cool.
Just a great time. Great time.
That's great, man.
Thank you all for watching. If you watched, thanks for talking about it later. If you talked about it, a lot of people were sending us love on Twitter. That was great. And of course, you can go watch the monologue on IGN still. You can go catch it on the demand and all that stuff. But don't go anywhere, because I want to talk to you about a bunch of Pokemon announcements, Assassin's Creed rumors, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show by writing in for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. All you need to do is open up the internet and say, what's the gaming news of the day? And then write in with your thoughts, questions, and opinions about it.
I think you turned into Macho Man just a little
bit. Ooh, yeah. What's the gaming news of the day? Too sweet to be sour, Assassin's Creed. Of course, if you want to go that extra mile, you should go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, you, of course, can get the show ad-free. You can get dozens of bonus episodes each and every month. And of course, you could usually get some cool merch. You can watch us record all the podcasts live as we record them, unless there's an embargo. Tim, we're doing a Gamescast today. Is there an embargo for it?
Oh, there's an embargo, Greg.
Wasn't sure if there was or not. So sorry, no Gamescast today, but that is happening. There's more content that you fund on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
At some point, it's going to come out. And sure. I think you're really going to like it.
Be excited. Of course, you can watch us record Kind of Funny Games Daily live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later with ads, without dozens of episodes, not being able to watch the other cool stuff on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. You saw it go by as a little bug there, but don't forget, you can use the Epic creator code Kinda Funny when you're checking out of the Epic Game Store or playing Fortnite, Rocket League, and so on your Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. Housekeeping for you. Right after this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily, there is a brand new episode of The Blessing Show premiering on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Blessing will not say what it's about. He wants to take the world by surprise. It is a live event, a live premiere. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, 11 a.m. If you're listening to this later, watching later, of course, you can go to YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames and catch it there. And support The Blessing Show, but not more than you supported the Avengers episode.
No,
of the Blessing
support Show. It more than this. Have you seen this episode, Greg?
I've seen it in its editing phases. I haven't seen the complete.
It is fantastic. I cannot wait for all of you to see it. Please share this video with everybody. We, more than normal, I know we ask for you to do a lot of things. Click here, subscribe here, comment here, whatever. Please share The Blessing Show that's about to come out at 11 a.m. We want to get this to as many people as possible. This is really showing off what Blessing is capable of, Roger's capable of, Kinda Funny is capable of. We really want to get the message out there to everybody, because this is a really, really special episode, and there was a lot of hard work that went into it. More hard work than normal.
Yeah.
So, want to celebrate
If there was
that.
One episode to dethrone my episode of The Blessing Show as the most popular episode of The Blessing Show, it's this one.
It's got to be this one.
And then right there, it's a me, BT, says Tim, quote, share it or The Blessing Show is canceled, end quote.
You know, I can't confirm or deny that, but I can ask you to share this video.
Share it or we cancel Blessing. Don't worry so much about the show, all right? What? I mean, if there's no skin in the game, if people aren't worried about it, they don't have a horse in the race, your views and retweets and quote tweets will decide Blessing's job. Is that what you want to hear? It's done. We've decided it.
Canceled.
Where are you at, DiGiorno? I don't know why I want them to retweet it. Housekeeping continuing. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Remember, of course, right now there's a brand new episode of The Last of Us Reactions. We watched the most recent episode, Left Behind, and talked all about it. You can watch that screencast or listen to that screencast on podcast services around the globe or youtube.com/kindafunny. Today we're brought to you by HelloFresh, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be The Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on The Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen.
Number one. I like the hi-hat there at the end. That was nice.
That's the smoke.
Oh, I don't miss the smoke. The smoke, we overused. And God broke one of them and took them away, and I appreciate that. Number one on the Roper Report, there's a rumor, ladies and gentlemen, that three more Assassin's Creed games are reportedly already being worked on.
Come on.
This is Jose Garcia at Dual Shockers. In case there was any doubt that Ubisoft is looking to heavily rely on its most popular franchise moving forward, credible industry insider Tom Henderson is claiming via Insider Gaming that the publisher already has teams working on three more Assassin's Creed games, on top of the previous six that have been confirmed up to late last year. Though the prior games mostly comprised mainline titles in the series, these three new ones will seemingly be more complementary offerings that provide varying styles of gameplay. They are described as follows. Project Raid will be a free-to-play, four-player PvE experience that will feature previous assassins as playable characters. Project Nebula is simply described as having three different settings: India, the Aztec Empire, and the Mediterranean. Thirdly, Project Echoes, is another multiplayer offering that is using a form of cloud technology for development called Ubisoft Scholar. Scholar. It's fair if you need some help catching up, as the project names are getting a bit difficult to keep up with at this point. The franchise's next game is Assassin's Creed Mirage, which is set to launch sometime in 2023. As per Insider Gaming, Assassin's Creed Project Red is scheduled for 2024. It will have two playable characters and, quote, a strong focus on stealth. Ubisoft has confirmed that it's set to take place in feudal Japan. Assassin's Creed Project Invictus is reportedly set to land in 2025, and it is a multiplayer-focused take on the series. Project Hex is slated for 2026. It's being developed by Ubisoft Montreal. Project Jade is an open-world mobile game, and Project Nexus is allegedly the codename of the franchise's confirmed VR experience. Insider Gaming further claimed that the sequel to Project Nexus, which has yet to even be revealed, is, quote, already being discussed. That would bring the total number of Assassin's Creed titles that are in some form of development to 10.
Oh, man. That's a lot, Greg. Does any of this excite you as a huge Assassin's Creed fan of the more recent games?
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's one of those careful what you wish for kind of situations. Because throughout my many years of covering games, there's always been that conversation of, man, why aren't games talked about the same way Kevin Feige will come out and talk about the MCU phases and really give you all this stuff and get your way out and stuff? This, I don't want to say is a mountain out of a molehill situation, but it is this idea of like, oh, they got 10 games. This is, I'm like, yeah, there's like, Ubisoft is huge. And as we've seen throughout this year of 2023 and the conversations we've had, right? You know, you've seen earnings drop. You've seen Yves Guillemot talk about, hey, it's on you, the employees, to turn this around. You've seen them get mad about that. You know what I mean?
We'll be at E3 if there is an E3.
There is this, all right, clearly they need, their plan is to turn around and double down on what works for them. And Assassin's Creed works for them. And they are known for that. And like, I'm letting you go. I'm not sitting here going like, clearly this is the right move. This is as many, we need all these Assassin's Creed games. Yeah. But it is that idea of like, how far out are some of these 10 games we're talking about? You know, the new ones we're getting at. Like, are we talking about, you know, when we're talking about, okay, cool, there's going to be Project Nebula and it's going to be, you know, Project Echoes, and Project Echoes is using the cloud. Like, how many of these are actually going to ever see the light of day even? Like, a lot of these could just be, when you're talking about something as nebulous as, Echoes, that it's a multiplayer offering that's using some sort of cloud technology. It's like, okay, but is that really happening? Like, what about Assassin's Creed Infinity? Is that the platform?
Infinite,
is that the platform we're talking about? It was not even mentioned in all these code names and stuff like that. Like, we're getting a glimpse to some degree behind the curtain. And, you know, your question to me, to get back on track, you know, does any of this do anything for me? Yeah. Remember when they came out and announced the other Assassin's Creed we just talked about, right? We're talking about Hex and Jade. Hex and Red. Like, when they were like, hey, Assassin's Creed Red. Red is going to be the one that's set in Japan. Finally, it's that one you've all wanted. Fuck yeah. Sign me up for that. Even Mirage, which we know a bit about, but not everything about. It was like, oh, it was going to be DLC for Valhalla. Got spread off into the own thing. It's going to be a smaller experience. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, you know, I thought Valhalla was way too big. So the idea that here's a more, you know, you're playing as the assassins from Valhalla, not Eivor, right? Here, go ahead and play it. It'll be a more streamlined, this is what you're doing as the assassins. That sounds like fun. That sounds cool. An open world Japan to run around with and have that Assassin's Creed RPG that I fell in love with Odyssey. So many people fell in love with Origins. Some people loved in Valhalla, and like, I loved the mechanics of it more than the overall package. Like, yeah, that gets me excited. when you really start getting, like, how much can we get into being excited about? All right, this one's Project Raid, which is a free-to-play, four-player, PvE. Like, those are really buzzwords to a degree. They're also just genres and descriptors.
But I think that's where I come in on this, where they're buzzwords, but they're buzzwords in a direction that we're not excited about, right? Like, this is a Ubisoft where, if Ubisoft were where it was 5 years ago even, and we're talking about these type of things that, again, are leaked. This isn't officially being talked about for them, so it is a little uncool of us to like kind of like act as if these are official announcements and they're overdoing it, whatever. But I just find it hard to be excited when they've really not proven themselves in a long time. Bless and I talk about this a lot. You hear me talk about the Xbox dominoes a lot. I feel there's a similar conversation with Ubisoft of they need to define themselves. We need to understand what a Ubisoft game means, because that's lost all meaning. Like that meant so much before, and so much good, so much bad, whatever. But they set the trends of what modern games are to this day. But they've lost themselves, and there's many reasons why that's the case. But to be where they're at now, it kind of just does. It kind of feels like throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks, and that everything is just getting homogenized to being Assassin's Creed. Like, the amount of different IP that Ubisoft has that they're not tapping into, that have seen success before, and we haven't seen iterations of in a very long time, their output is dwindling in terms of the breadth of the content, the UB arts of the world, and things like that. And it's kind of just been them chasing trends. Instead of defining what the trends are, it's them trying Hyperscape. It's them trying these, like, roller champions. Like, these, not roller champions. Yes, roller champions. This biking game that me and Bless were really excited about, the Riders Republic. They try a bunch of things, but it just kind of feels like they're just, like, chasing and chasing and chasing 100%. Without any firm identity. And this is like, all right, guess what? We do have an identity. And that identity is the same identity that everyone got sick of before, which is just, let's try every single thing possible with Assassin's Creed. Now, the one thing that I'm like, all right, maybe this could work, is Assassin's Creed, very similar to things like Mario or Zelda, have been around long enough and found success in multiple genres and in different forms where there can be different style experiences, and it's not all the same. They're not all the same Assassin's Creed. We're talking about Mirage being more akin to the 360 of Assassin's Creed, and then we're going to get the Jade, which is probably going to be more similar to the big open RPGs that you love so much.
Yeah.
And then talking about the multiplayer side of things. People loved the multiplayer back in the day. Yeah. I like the idea of them being their own projects as opposed to being shoehorned in, because modern game design doesn't work that way. We see things kind of being released as their own projects. And with the idea of Assassin's Creed Infinite being this overarching ecosystem of Assassin's Creed, there's potential that this all works out. I just struggle to have faith in it.
Like, 100%.
I look at this and I'm like, you know, this doesn't sound like you guys have things under control, and how much of this happens, how much doesn't, that's game development. I understand that. But it's more just like, I just feel like we're in a weird place that we need kind of a Ubisoft like reboot almost. And as the days go on, it feels less and less likely that that's actually going to happen.
You nail it all there. I think you right now, from the outside, because we're not there, it does seem like a Ubisoft adrift. Where, again, I always go back to when Vivendi tried to do the hostile takeover, and that's when they really doubled down on what is a Ubisoft game, right? And they were moving to this open world thing and the checklist games. That's where we're going to go, and that's what it's going to be, and you're going to see these things and some littler projects we do around that. And then have seen that those little projects not be as successful as they need or want them to be in a very Square Enix fashion. Then be like, well, people are still buying this, but you know, you look at this list and remember, of course, when there was the annualized Assassin's Creed, and I'm not talking about the RPG ones, before that, right? And it was, we will keep making them annually until you stop buying them, and people stop buying them, and they changed course and did stuff with it. Now you do have a Ubisoft that all the headlines aren't, I was going to say, they're all negative, right? And varying degrees of negative, but in terms of sales, what the Yves Gamal's telling the team, what's going on with this, you know, where the teams are, what games are being canceled, moved around, or whatever, stuff like that, that you get here. And yeah, like, so, okay, it sounds like they're just turning inward, doubling down on Assassin's Creed, use some Far Cry, any the big franchises there. And then, yeah, of course, doing license work where they have Massive working on Star Wars. You have the Avatar game coming. What does that mean for Division? You know, Heartland is something we haven't heard about in forever. There's the mobile game that they're all going, Skull and Bones, don't even get me started on, right? Like, you have a Ubisoft that I don't think has a vision for what they are. And that's directly from what you're talking about, right? Yeah. And when they don't know what they are, I think that means that they're going to make decisions that won't put them on the path to being a successful company.
Yep. And, you know, I think back to even in their heyday of Ubisoft, like the E3 press conferences, E3 was a mainstay of those. And they would often have the longest show of the week. And it would be like 2 hours of
big old Just Dance live
section.
So
many projects, and like that was the thing is like that Ubi in a different way than a lot of the other showcases we would see around E3 time. Like they touched on so many different properties. Like Ubisoft was ahead of the game when it came to like and there's also a TV show and there's also a movie and we're also treating E3 as like Ubisoft brand overall. It's not just video games, and because of that, they focused on mobile games. They focused on the Just Dances, then the core games and all this other stuff. And the esports side of things. And with where they're at now, with all the games you were just talking about, like they are working on, or at least at some point were working on, projects people are really excited about. Splinter Cell Remake being one of them. The Star Wars game people are really excited about. Prince of Persia. And like, yeah, obviously that's in a very bad place right now. But
talking about from the onset of like, hey, we're like, remaking.
I do want a Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake. I do want more Prince of Persia. But then adding on where that's at, adding on the fact that Splinter Cell Remake doesn't sound anywhere close to imminent, and even the Star Wars thing and all that, I feel like we're still a wave away from getting, quote unquote, what we want out of Ubisoft, if we're even going to get it. And that leaves us here with the Avatar game that I'm interested in seeing what it looks like, but like that's the type of thing where if the Avatar game was in addition to all these other things that we're like really looking forward to of what we want to see from Ubisoft, that would be like, oh, this is an exciting time. It being the biggest thing that we like are expecting to see soon, like if when Ubisoft will be at E3, if it happens, what are they going to show? Avatar. It's like that's that. And I am a huge Avatar fan, bigger than most people I know. I don't know about this game, you know, and like, well, sure, they haven't shown much about it, but it's like, I don't think that
it's going, not going to appeal to
there's
you.
There's going to be so many people that are just going to hate on it no matter what the game is.
Sure.
So that's tough, man. And then you add all this Assassin's Creed stuff. I don't know. It's interesting.
Two things I want to pull from the chat that are long gone, so I'm going to paraphrase. I apologize. Parker Petrov earlier was like, you know, from the outside, it kind of looks like they could be putting all this out to bolster their numbers to try to sell.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I do think that's 100% of a possibility.
Totally.
You said in your initial monologue about it, right, of like, hey, who's going to sit there basically and grab the yoke and say, this is our vision? You have less and less faith that's going to happen. I have basically no faith that's going to happen from current leadership. Mm-hmm. I think you do need to have a shakeup. You do need to have a purchase. You do need to have somebody come in and be like, no, this is what we are. These are the projects we're going with. This is where we're going to march for.
Yeah.
And I think that would make a lot of sense in terms of riding the ship into what we want it to be or what gamers want it to be, which is a different thing. Back to that same conversation. It went through, and I don't remember the name. I apologize. But somebody brought up, like, what about Immortals Fenyx Rising? That was successful. That's probably getting a sequel. Someone's working on that. No?
I kind of doubt it.
I'm talking out my ass and looking into my crystal ball. I would say, with the current regime and what you're seeing out of Ubisoft, absolutely not. Because when this is literally what you're seeing Ubisoft do right now, and this is not me getting on a soapbox because I actually like all this, but is what you're seeing in the movie industry, right? Where it's like, if it's not fucking superheroes, it's not clicking right now. If it's not a sequel to something, it's not clicking right now. So you're seeing less and less of the big studios make the cool independent films. And that's something that I've heard said to me. I'm not the movie guy, I'm the game guy. But to come back to the game side now, where I do exist, you're seeing Ubisoft bolster themselves by saying, you know what? Fuck, we need to make money. We are losing things. So a million Assassin's Creed, this Avatar project, this Star Wars project. And I do not think Immortals Fenyx Rising 2 fits in there, because even if it's a quote-unquote success, and it did well, it is not going to do these juggernaut numbers. And right now, as we see, Squiddy Wibby says, Jeff Grubb said before an Immortal sequel is being worked. I fully believe it's being worked. We also see Ubisoft canceling shit all the time. So it's not that I'm saying it isn't possible. This isn't me saying that it's not being worked on. I'm just saying that I would be surprised if current Ubisoft leadership, unless they figure out exactly what they're doing, and again, maybe behind the scenes, they do know what they're doing or what they're going for or whatever. It's just seeing all the tea leaves, seeing all the announcements, seeing every, again, negative headline week after week doesn't give me confidence that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that an acquisition is inevitable at this point, and it's just a question of who's it going to be. And I think that given the state of the industry of where we're at right now, I don't think it's going to be Microsoft, because they're already dealing with a lot.
Wrestling this Activision Blizzard thing to the ground.
And then PlayStation, I don't know if they have the capital to be able to do that. Like, Ubisoft, again, for context here, huge. The amount of teams they have, worldwide studios that are working on so many different games that are gigantic teams. Ubisoft is a beast of its own compared to any other the third-party studios for sure out there. Like, I would say at this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but like Ubisoft and its teams are rivaled essentially only by Xbox Game Studios.
Sure.
Because of the amount of teams they have and all of that. Like,
well, yeah, but let's talk about Embracer, Tencent, and everything else. But I understand the argument you're making. I'm not going to stop.
No, I guess that is true. But I feel like my bet would be Amazon. I think Amazon buys Ubisoft.
See, I think Tencent's already got a pretty large investment. A pretty large investment in them, right? Washington Post from September 2022, Tencent invests $297 million into Ubisoft. Tencent has made, and I'm sorry, this is an article by Jonathan Lee. Tencent has made a $297 million investment into Assassin's Creed maker Ubisoft. Ubisoft announced Tuesday that Tencent acquired a minority stake in the Guillemot Brothers Limited, the company through which Ubisoft founders have managed the greater Ubisoft Corporation. And that was obviously, that's dated information in terms of where they're at now with the investment and stuff like that, because I know that shit's always changing. But, like, I could definitely see that being the move, right? They come in and get it. Yeah, you know, we joke about, I just joked about Embracer. There's all these things that are getting bought up all the time, man. What's interesting about Xbox being stalled with Activision Blizzard, I think that also stalls PlayStation to a degree.
Oh, yeah.
Because PlayStation can't, in the same, and while arguing that this is bad for business and everything else, be like, we also bought Ubisoft. We're buying Ubisoft. Like, wait, what the fuck, man?
But even then, I don't see PlayStation buying Ubisoft.
I don't either.
Like,
I
don't think that in any world that is the move. Like, for the type of games that they make and with what they get already from Ubisoft, I think Ubisoft being a third party benefits Sony more than them being first party. Whereas I think the opposite is true for Xbox. If Xbox could managed to get Ubisoft as a first-party studio, my God, I think that's totally game-changing. We are past the point already where it becomes unmanageable when there's so many different teams where the more things get acquired, there's those multi-year phases of, like, figuring out what that means. And I think that Xbox has been now doing that for the last couple of years. So on the, at least the foundation level there, I think it seems to be a strong leadership team with a vision of, like, how to handle new teams coming in and what that means of keeping people on and all that. But in this, like, very uncertain world where every other day there's 40,000 people laid off stories.
Yeah.
It's dire out there. Anything could freaking happen any day of the week. But I do think that it is inevitable that in the next 2 years, Ubisoft will be sold.
Interesting. I believe it. Nanobiologist wrote into kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong while we were going. He says it is in fact Assassin's Creed Infinity. Greg was right. Not Infinite. So there you go. Number two on the Rep Report, ladies and gentlemen, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet expansions have been announced. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.com. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are getting major chunks of story DLC akin to that of Pokemon Sword and Shield, with the first expansion coming in fall this year. Announced during February's Pokemon Presents event, the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero will feature two separate DLC products available to pre-order on the Nintendo eShop soon. The first will be available in fall 2023 and is called The Teal Mask, during which players will visit an area beyond the Paldea region called Kit Kami. The second expansion is the Indigo Disc and will be released in winter 2023 and have players attend Blueberry Academy as an exchange student. I was like, you can look back and see me starting to bust a little bit. You know what I mean? Yep. I'm getting to the edge here of Hidden Treasure of Area Zero, Teal Mask, and then we get to Blueberry Academy.
Blueberry Academy.
Alongside the two new legendary Pokemon, the Spooky Masked Ogre Pond and the Sparkly Terrapagos. Each expansion will also feature Pokemon previously unavailable in Scarlet and Violet, including Shiftry, Milotic, Ninetales, Dewgong, Metagross, and more. Barrett, when you get back in there, can I get a photo of Dewgong? Because I'll tell you right now,
homie, bro,
this man has a chance at dethroning Porygon as my favorite guy
Dewgong?
Of all time.
Dewgong? Yeah, Dewgong. Dude, this is some Greg Miller vibes.
Dewgong fucks? Sure. All right.
I can see you being a
pre-purchasing the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero DLC will also get players new outfits that are available immediately and a special Hisuian Zoroark. Also available today is the Walking Wake, an and Iron Leaves Terra Raid battles available in Scarlet and Violet, respectively. Pokemon Home connectivity was also announced for Scarlet and Violet, though only a vague early 2023 date was revealed. Pokemon Go support will also be available today. I struck down. Do we have Dewgong? Can I see what Dewgong looks like?
It's an evolved seal, Greg.
No.
It is. Yeah, seal.
Kind of like Lucille from the Giants?
S-E-E-L. Honestly, Dewgong does kind of look like a white naked Lucille.
Not going to lie, Porygon still gets the win on being cooler looking.
Yeah.
What does this guy evolve? When this you evolve, you change your fucking name, right?
Yeah.
I hate
seal
that shit.
Turns into Dewgong.
Oh. So this is what this guy evolves into.
Yes.
This fucking boring ass piece of shit isn't the first phase.
It's a smaller, more boring version. Yeah.
Let me see him smaller. Yeah, you
Greg might be more into Seal, if I'm being honest.
What's the middle?
There's no middle. There's a two.
Oh, he goes from Seal to Dewgong.
Yeah, one of the rare
before
ones.
Before I pull him up,
forms.
The Seal is definitely more Greg's vibe here.
Oh, yeah. All right.
This guy parties, man.
He's no Porygon, but I'll accept that.
He is no Porygon.
Seal is pretty fucking dope looking. You know what I mean?
So it's Pokemon Day 2023, Greg. Every year they celebrate the anniversary of Pokemon first coming out in Japan. And with that comes a variety of announcements. Sometimes they're big ones, sometimes they're small ones. Mm-hmm. This is a small year for sure. Last year we got
You woke up for this.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you
yeah,
were up at 6 a.m.
6 a.m. There's a live reaction you can watch on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, reacting to all the things that they showed. It's a weird one where overall, was it a disappointment? Yes. But I'm not surprised that it was a disappointment.
Sure.
We knew where this was
going to
be.
You didn't go in there with your hype level off the charts.
Yes. Having said that, there was a lot that I expected to be here that wasn't here. And it's just a little bit sad because, like, it's all going to happen. Like, it's all stuff that, like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And not getting the answer today, I'm like, ooh, it's not happening as soon as I thought it was going to. So that's kind of sad. Even talking about the DLC itself, I'm surprised at some of the information we got from it. Sounds great. Cool. All this. I'm happy DLC's coming. We knew that. We knew it was going to happen. I wish we got a little bit more. Last time we got DLC for a Pokemon game was Sword and Shield, and that was the first time we ever did.
Yeah.
Normally, we get the third version of a game. This was the first generation where it's like, no, actually, it's going to be a two-part DLC pack. One was a little smaller, and then one was like a hint more towards what would end up becoming the Scarlet and Violet type of open-world play.
Okay.
And when they announced those, it was on, if I remember correctly, on Pokemon Day, so in February, and then the first round came out in June. So it was like a pretty quick, like, or actually, I think it was even March and then June. So it was real, real soon after the announcement. So for them to announce this being fall and winter, I'm like, oh, that is way further out than I expected. And on top of that, I thought we would see a lot more. We didn't see any gameplay today. They just kind of top level showed a bunch of things. And like, there's interesting stuff. I'm excited to get into it. The hidden treasure of Area Zero, the Area Zero stuff in the game in Scarlet and Violet is awesome. And I love the idea of where they're going. Clearly, the first one's going to be focusing on the past. The second one's going to be focusing on the future. I love that. I think there's going to be some cool stuff there. Today, there's a new raid to get some new Paradox Form Pokemon of Suicune, which I'm really excited about. Going to have to get on that. But just the way they presented it all was kind of like, all right. Like, I know the whole could have been a blog post or whatever. It's like, this is definitely one where all the information
could've
here,
been a blog post.
Had they not even announced that they were going to do this and this video just dropped, it would have been like, all right, cool. There's a lot of information, a lot of stuff. But I don't know that any of it is really like that's exciting right now. Going further than that, I think there was a lot of expectations for updates on things that we already knew about. Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2 are coming to N64 online.
Woo!
I can't believe we didn't get them today. I thought that was like the most slam dunk thing. Didn't even reference them. We heard about Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon Go Plus.
I got more Pokemon news stories here.
Oh, okay.
Don't go spoiling everything. You want me to go? I'll go the rest of the way. I got two more for you, all right? Then we'll get into ads.
Mm-hmm.
Three! That's number three. I don't know how to pronounce three so much. Pokemon and Netflix announced Pokemon Concierge. This is Rebecca Valentine over at IGN.com. During today's Pokemon Presents, a partnership was announced between Netflix and the Pokemon Company for a brand new series, Pokemon Concierge. Thus far, we don't know many details about Pokemon Concierge. We know that it takes place at a Pokemon resort of some sort and follows a young Pokemon Concierge, Haru, and the various Pokemon that visit the resort. We also know that it will be a stop-motion series. A brief clip showed a sandy beach and a Psyduck wandering along it. This is new. This is a new original story and is being made in partnership with Dwarf Studio, which has previously worked on animations such as Monsters at Work, Trash Truck, and others.
Barrett brings up a great tweet from Arena. Be like, is this Pokemon White Lotus? We can only hope.
God, that'd be amazing. We can only hope.
Yeah, so this is a mixed bag for me, where I look at this and I'm like, all right, cool. Not what I'd want from a Netflix Pokemon show.
What would you want?
I mean, I would want the dream. I would want a Detective Pikachu world,
gotcha.
But having it be like an actual trainer battle story, going to the gyms, like doing all that live action, that would just be incredible.
Sure. Like I mentioned on the live reaction, I would want just like one singular place where we could watch all the series and not have to like jump back and forth from Netflix to Amazon to whatever made up platform that has like, I don't know, that would have been cool.
Pokemon TV. That's just how they do it, man. But I this looks cool. The stop motion stuff's dope. We saw a little clip of it, and it looks beautiful. But it looks like recently Studio Ghibli collaborated with Lucasfilm, and they put out the Grogu short on Disney Plus. And it's like, cool. This is neat, you know. But like, that's what it is. It's just neat. I don't think it's going to be like, look, we're not going to be doing weekly breakdowns on screencast for it. And I think that to me is the thing of like, I wish that there was a Netflix Pokemon show that was the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this is exciting because they talked about this as just a project and the beginning of a bunch of collaborations with Netflix. In America, Netflix has been the home of Pokemon for the last couple years, with all the anime being translated over here. We're still waiting for the World Coronation series to be fully translated. And I'm excited for that. But this is cool where they're making new original stuff. And that gives me hope that potentially we might get something more akin to what I'm looking for in the future.
Okay.
And they did mention that they're going to adapt some like fan favorite storylines and things. And they said the manga and the Pokemon Adventures manga is great. So if they do a more faithful animated version of that, I'd be there day one. But again, we're talking about stuff that feels very far, far out. So kind of like, exciting announcement, but not in the direction that I'd really want it to go.
You know what isn't far out? Story number four, Pokemon Sleep is real and launching this summer. This is Taylor Lyles at IGN. The Pokemon company has finally re-revealed Pokemon Sleep after the game fell into a slumber for almost 4 years. Announced during February's Pokemon Presents event, Pokemon Sleep will officially launch this summer. During the presentation, we learned more about Pokemon Sleep, including confirmation that the app will track your sleeping patterns and will show you different sleep styles of the many different pocket monsters you can encounter in the game. It aims to, quote, turn sleeping into entertainment by having a player's time spent sleeping and the time they wake up affect the gameplay, letting players wake up with Pokemon every morning. Pokemon Sleep will be available on Android and iOS when it releases.
Yeah, they first announced Pokemon Sleep and the Pokemon Go Plus device. That's actually what it's called, Greg.
I vaguely remember the Pokemon Go Plus. What is it exactly?
It's like a Pokeball thing that like you can interact with in Pokemon Sleep and in Pokemon Go. But they announced this during that hilariously bad Pokemon presentation with the weird music and everything.
This is getting kinky now.
Yeah, it's getting a little weird. And yeah, that was years ago. And so now they're finally talking about it. And even how is this not an out today thing? Like, it's just like, oh yeah, coming later in the summer. It's like, all right, cool.
Well, because it's attached to Pokemon Plus Go Plus. So we need that physical thing to be able to, you know, go to sleep, Tim.
You don't though. Like that's just like extra stuff. And that's later too. Just bizarre stuff. It's bizarre, but I get it. It's timing. You can't change the anniversary date of Pokemon. It's Pokemon Day. They're going to talk about stuff. So I'm not mad at them for doing this, but look at this. This shit's weird. I don't really know who this is for, but maybe it's for kids, Greg. Oftentimes when I'm like, who is this for Pokemon? The answer is children.
Yeah. This is a cartoon that a bunch of adults continue to care about. Like, yeah, it's going to be made for children.
But the thing is like, I can't imagine being a kid being excited about this. Like,
for sleep?
Yeah. Like that's the thing is like, I don't get this product confuses me, but hey, whatever, it's okay.
I'm sorry too. I was DJ Mayer in the chat says children have cell phones. That is probably the stupidest thing you could fucking write. Yes. Have you ever noticed? Hey, go look at any kid. Is it their own phone? Is they got somebody else's phone? They got a phone that isn't connected to the thing. It's just Wi-Fi. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So. And also, as a dad, let me tell you, I love my son. It's amazing. He's sometimes I'm like, please go to bed. So if they, like, and this he isn't even like, you know, really sentient yet really of like having interest. If there is a thing that'll help kids go to bed, you know what I mean? Like put them in there and, you know, gamify sleep. Just like they gamified brushing your teeth, right? Isn't that a Pokemon thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I just struggle to be a kid and be like, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep because of this thing. Like We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but rewarding
kids. Don't get me wrong. I do not think it's going to be like you know, this, oh my God, it's setting the world on fire thing. But I could see if you're super into Pokemon and you need it, like, you know, you have your, you get in, your parents read your story, they turn on your nightlight, and then they activate your little Pokemon sleep thing. So you sleep next to Dewgong or whatever the fuck his name is, you know?
Yeah.
I see them enjoying that.
Not for me. Struggle to see who it's for, whatever. Sure. But what is for me is the Pokemon Trading Card Game Classic they announced, which is just a super, like, a high-end premium version of the original cards. And it's, like, in this sleek little set. I'm like, you motherfuckers are targeting me.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah,
my money. I'm going to buy this shit.
Barrett, can you... Oh, you're doing this. This is great. Can you throw up the Pokemon Go Plus introduction video? I'm on GameSpot's story. I just wanted to know a little bit more. This is Patrick Finelli over there. They have it in there. You can see it on YouTube too. The game will make use of the new Pokemon Go Plus device, which was also unveiled in the Pokemon Presents video. Players can press a button when first going to bed. Oh, this is back to talking about the Pokemon Sleep, and this is the Pokemon Go Plus. So is it? It's like a okay. So it's not a Pokeball, but it's a Pokepuck.
Yeah.
I got to poke a puck here.
Mm-hmm.
God, Andrew Goldfarb's going to have 12 of these, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, we already have something like it on the.
Yeah, isn't there like a wrist thing? There's like a. Like
yeah,
a...
there's the. And that's why this is the plus version. There was
the
original. But, and then also when Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee came out, there was the one that was like actually a Pokeball with the analog stick so you can play the game.
Gotcha.
So it's just like that, but with some more added functionality. Like you can just walk around and hit the buttons to catch Pokemon and
you can
change to great balls and ultra balls and stuff. Like, cool, great, this is fine. But I'm just surprised it's not out now.
Yeah,
years ago. And I know there was a pandemic, but they're talking about this in a Pokemon presentation.
I hear.
Also updates on Cafe, Remix, and Unite and stuff. Overall, cool stuff, but it's just everything we kind of expected. The things that we got that were the exciting things, the DLC, I feel like I wasn't thrilled with the presentation of and the information there. And a lot of stuff we expected that isn't here now, which I'm just like, all right, cool. It's coming later. So,
I have a question from Nathan Choquette, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. But before I get to his poker question, I'm going to tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can get dozens of exclusive monthly shows. And of course, you could get merch. You could do a whole bunch of stuff. You could watch and record the podcast live. You could just go over there and say, hey, I really appreciate you guys doing this and having coverage and doing cool stuff and give us some money and say, I'm chipping in. But guess what? You didn't chip in today, ladies and gentlemen. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. Remember those New Year's goals you promised yourself that you'd stick to? Well, HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your door, taking the hassle out of dinner time. Fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions are ready in less than 15 minutes, so you can enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. A ton of us here at Kind of Funny have been using HelloFresh for years. Kevin loves how easy it is to get Paula vegetarian options, while I just love how quick the fast and fresh recipes come together during a hectic day in the studio. Go to HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
The one, the only, Nathan Choquette writes in to Patreon. No, I'm sorry. kindoffunny.com/KFGD for free and says, after seeing the lackluster Pokemon Direct this morning, how hopeful are you for a future where we revisit the gold/silver region again, Tim?
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like we're due for it. And anytime we've ever been due for something in Pokemon, it ends up happening. So we will return to Johto in some way, shape, or form. I just pray to God that it's not in the form of the remake style that they use for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
Gotcha.
Because that shit is fucking boo-boo sauce.
Damn.
Yeah.
You have opinions. I appreciate that.
I do. I really
appreciate
do.
That. I yeah. appreciate that.
Yeah.
Where are we at right now? You were trying to catch them all, and then you're still trying to catch them all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Still trying. Playing through Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee right now.
Got it.
I'm almost done with the game. Then I have to catch them all. It's a whole thing. But then other video games are coming out, Greg.
Yeah, I know. A lot of video games are coming out.
But it's going slow and steady. Been playing Pokemon Go every day.
Yeah.
About 200 in that thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
You know, it's cool. I don't know what I'm doing right now, but every day I just catch a couple and I do like the free, like get the daily stuff
get
every
your
day.
Incense and your gifts. And
I've been.
Are you sending stuff to Goldfarb? Is he sending stuff to you?
That's the thing. I don't know about any of that.
What?
So I've been talking to Goldfarb. I'm like, hey, we need to set up a little lunch date so you can explain to me how to play this game. Because I got the catching down. I got some of the things down. But there's a lot in Pokemon Go at this point. I need a Sherpa.
We were walking Benny around yesterday, and some kids were running around playing it. And we ran into them hours later still playing it. I was like, damn, I re-downloaded it. Yeah. Went in there.
Me and
sent
G
my
got
gifts.
Some...
Hit my Pokestops.
It's great. Me and you went to get some pancakes at the Millbury Pancake House.
Oh,
it was great. It was fantastic this weekend. And I was playing a little bit. I look over and I saw some other guy playing. I was like, whoa, hey. And we like made eye contact. And then I saw that there was like some new feature to me. It's probably been there for years where if you go, you can scan specific things. And I was like, oh, that's across the street. I was like, gee, we got to do it. And she was like, all right, cool. We walk across the street. The guy from earlier was there too. And I'm like, this is awesome.
Pokemon
what
was
a world.
So cool.
Here
Pokemon
we are.
So cool.
2023 still dealing with this. I do want to show you something, Greg, real quick. Can you please bring it up, Barrett? Because we saw this and you have to too.
Okay.
They had this animatronic Pikachu just sitting next to him that would just randomly talk.
Oh, okay.
And the way that it
sounded. Are they selling it yet or no?
No. Okay. It was just there. They never referenced it.
Okay.
He never interacted with it. It was just there the whole time. And it would just move and do weird things. And it is the creepiest thing ever.
I thought it looked cute.
But I'm hoping we get a Megan Pokemon Netflix movie. You know?
Is that his voice?
Yep.
Like, terrifying, right?
I love it. I mean, as somebody who loved his Teddy Ruxpin, I thought he looked pretty dope. Number five and final on the Roper Report for the day. Starfield Showcase rumored to be announced this week. This is Alessio Palumbo over at WCCF Tech. The wait for the Starfield gameplay showcase's date could end shortly, according to the latest rumors. On Friday, Andy Robinson from Video Games Chronicle tweeted that the announcement was due shortly. During the latest Xbox 2 podcast episode, Jez Corden from Windows Central added that the showcase would be announced this week. They didn't say anything about the actual date, but it stands to reason that the Starfield gameplay showcase may happen sometime in March. Likely, the event will also include the new release date for Bethesda's Space Epic. Let's
go. Sounds about right.
Let's go.
You know, I feel like we got the Xbox. I forget what they called it, but
No, it was the Xbox Dev underscore something or other. There was
an showcase
showcase, dev developer underscore showcase.
And you know that had deep dives into a couple of the upcoming titles. That was
they were very
surprise.
Clear. Starfield won't be there. It'll
exactly.
get its own thing.
No Starfield. It'll be its own thing. We got Hi-Fi Rush there, so I feel like it was a matter of time before we actually got this. And I mean, the release date is exciting. Right, like,
yeah, that'd
like,
be great,
like
yeah.
The placement of all this is coming together. Yeah, I imagine this is imminent. Within the next week or two, I think that they will announce it, and then we'll be here reacting.
How do you
to
think
it.
It'll be? How do you think Starfield's going to do?
At
Not
the end of
like
the day,
sales-wise.
Or just
like,
this thing? Like
no, at end of the day. Like what?
I don't know, man. I think that it's in such a complicated position where it feels like the type of game that, like, without it even being out. I feel like it's already going to be a split thing of people are going to rock for it harder than they should, and people sure. are going to hate on it more than they should based on expectations. Like, it's just it put in that rock and hard place position of being a Bethesda game, but also now being a Xbox first party game. So sure. it's like there's the double expectations of it being a follow-up to Fallout 4 in a lot of ways, being a follow-up to Fallout and Skyrim in terms of Bethesda's lineage. So there's those expectations.
Sure.
But then there's also, oh, man, this is Xbox's big game of 2023. On top of that, it's Xbox's big game of the last couple of years, the next couple of years. Like, this is a big one. So
Mike Howard says this has to be a game of the generation.
It does, you know, and we've said before things about Xbox games like Halo, that it has to be this, has to be that. And then when it wasn't those things, guess what? Puts Xbox in a compromising position. So I'm hopeful. I hope this is what everybody wants it to be.
Same. You know, I think it's, you know, not foolish, but... it's hard to bet against Bethesda and Todd Howard. Such talented developers, such great vision, so many great games under their belt. But my problem is looking at it, I just don't look at that trailer and go, holy shit. This is, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. I don't have that great answer for why. I look at it and is it that it just looks too much like, oh, it's a space game. Like, you know, like No Man's Sky, I look at the trailers and it, you know, it's gorgeous vistas and colors and different worlds and you really get that looks so brown. And of course Fallout, an incredibly brown game, but Fallout is living in the ruins of the world we currently know, so there's something
Fallout
to
was also
it.
2000 something out
sure
right?
sure
like,
sure
we're
sure,
in a different
sure,
place
sure, sure, sure. I don't know, like you say that Bethesda and Todd Howard are making a new open world RPG and I'm like, I will be there day one to try it and play it and see it, but I look at it and I'm just like, I don't know, man, like something about it just doesn't hit for me, and like in terms of I can't wait for this fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, you know, we haven't really seen too much, so this showcase might be that thing that convinces
hopefully, yeah,
you,
it would be the one of like, oh, this is it. This is
yeah,
it. This is it. For him, yeah.
But yeah, I'm hopeful for them, and I think that we'll get this very soon.
Well, very soon isn't today, Tim. If I wanted to know what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Anemiopolis, Chapter 1 on PC. We'll keep going. New dates for you. If you want something in the open world, spacey world now, or soon, I should say, the Outer Worlds Spacer's Choice Edition will launch March 7th for Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, and PC. That's, of course, Outer Worlds and all its DLC, I believe. Vanaris Tactics is coming to Xbox and Nintendo Switch on March 2nd. We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. We have three. It was Xbox developer underscore direct. Thank you to everyone who wrote in with that one. Then we have two that piggyback off each other. Nano writes in and says, the Pokemon Sword and Shield DLCs were announced during the Pokemon Direct on January 9th, 2020, not Pokemon Presents. Pokemon Presents actually started June 17th, 2020.
God bless Nintendo and Pokemon.
Then Jordan Deeb writes in and says, the Sword and Shield DLCs, the Isle of Armor, launched on June 17th, 2020. And the second, the Crown of Tundra, was October 22nd, 2020. Thank you for your corrections. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't do without you because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, of course, be part of the show for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong when we mess up. Of course, if you want to go the extra mile, patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you get the shows ad-free. You can get dozens of bonus content each and every month, where you can get merch, where you can watch us usually record the podcast live unless there's some kind of embargo because it's review season, and all sorts of stuff's happening over there on Patreon that we need your support for. So please, patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can support us for free on the Epic Game Store with the creator code kindoffunny or on your PlayStation, Switch, Xbox, wherever you can play an Epic game that uses the store, pop in the code kindoffunny. And then, of course, get the show for free with ads, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Speaking of youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, there is about to be a brand new world premiere event for the Blessing Show. Even if you're listening or watching later, please go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Check out the new episode of the Blessing Show. We are very proud of it. It took a lot of work, and we'd love for you to go watch it. Speaking of Blessing, tomorrow, Tim and Blessing will be hosting this show. Wednesday, Blessing and me will be hosting the show. Thursday, me and Tim. Friday, me and Tim.
Hell yeah.
If you're watching live, like I said, new episode of the Blessing Show, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Then, of course, the boys will be streaming something. Hang out on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Having a great time.
Speaking of the Blessing Show, so it's gonna be live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames at 11 a.m., just a few short minutes from now. We'll also be playing it live on Twitch. But if you watch on Twitch, please go over to the YouTube and give it the view. We'd really appreciate it. We want everybody to be here, be able to watch together and not interrupt you. But we're trying to get them views. So please go over there, share it with your friends, all of that stuff. We're treating this like a big deal because it is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
We worked really hard on it, and we're very, very excited for you guys all to see it. I think that this is a prime, if not the most prime example of the vision that we've had for the spare bedroom coming to reality so far. Just the beginning, everybody. But it's really good. It's really cool, and I'm excited for everyone to hang out.
Just 7 minutes away on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, ladies and gentlemen. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.